We start with Janet Humphreys, Lieutenant Colonel. Primarily, she knew Mike Flynn, met him 8 years ago working at the Defense Department. And what was your impression of him at that time?
Well, first of all, Jim, thank you. And thank you for having me on your show. General Flynn is interesting in that he's one of these people that has a lot of ideas. He sort of brainstorms all the time. And his good ideas are things that typically should be followed through on, but every idea that you have is not a good one. So he would have been well served by having someone on his staff that would actually say, sir, you can't do that, it's illegal, or sir, you can't do that, that's a violation of policy. So he is extremely smart, there's no doubt about that. He's extremely loyal. So I would point out that someone doesn't spend all those years, that career in the Army, without a real loyalty to the United States of America. And also, when you do the kinds of jobs that we do in the military, your job sort of has a built-in sense of patriotism, that you are making the sacrifices that you do for the people of the United States. So I don't think there's any question about Mike Flynn's loyalty to the United States. How he may have gotten off track, I think, is sort of a different issue. And one, I think, that may have led to his now current legal problems. But I don't think you can ever call his loyalty into question.
Well, General Flynn, who is 58 years old, is listed in several biographies as a Democrat. The latest story about him from Newsweek reads that by the time Mike Flynn was fired by President Trump as National Security Advisor in February, he made a lot of bad decisions. One was taking money from the Russians, foreign payments, and another was that he worked for Turkey, and he has a history of being involved with foreign powers, and he was dismissed rather early on. He and Jim Comey are the only ones who have been fired. What do you think about his firing? Was that a surprise?
It was a surprise to me just because of the way, and again, I don't know anything about Trump, but the way that he appears to be quite loyal to people. So the fact that Trump fired him, someone may have forced Trump's hand. How that may have taken place is completely opaque, I think, to most of us as to why that would have taken place.
And when James Comey was fired as head of the FBI, he said that Donald Trump had asked him to ease the pedal on Mike Flynn.
When I was looking at that and reading the news very closely, again, because of my previous statements about General Flynn being quite loyal to the United States, that perhaps the only reason he would have contacted the Russians would have been because President Trump, or then President-elect Trump, had asked him to do so, which then leads to, in my opinion, Trump's desire to try to protect Flynn because General Flynn was only doing what Trump had asked him to do.
All right, 877-217-5757. No doubt that General Michael Flynn is at the center of the investigation involving the president's campaign and Russia. And Flynn was involved early on with the Trump campaign. That's how he became the National Security Advisor. He was fired for supposedly lying to Vice President Pence about his associations with Russian officials. Here's Mike Flynn, Michelle, last year at just about this time. It was at the Republican convention in Cleveland when Mike Flynn was on the stage and denouncing the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton.
Lock her up, lock her up. You guys are good. Damn right. You're exactly right. There's nothing wrong with that. And you know why? And you know why? You know why we're saying that? We're saying that because if I, a guy who knows this business, if I did a tenth of what she did, I would be in jail today. So, crooked Hillary Clinton, leave this race now.
right. That was Michael Flynn. He gave some red meat there, and now, considering what's happened to him, it sounds like he was living in a glass house.
Well, I find it a little shocking that he would not have clearly understood that we keep very close tabs on the Russian ambassador to the United States. So I can't talk specifically, obviously, about any sort of collection requirements, but for him to not realize that we were probably intercepting the Russian ambassador's communications is extremely naive. So there's a record of these telephone calls, I would think. Again, I don't know specifically, but just based on the sorts of things that we are interested in, we are certainly interested in the Russian ambassador's communications. So to make a telephone call is pretty risky.
Your numbers again are 297-5633 locally and 877-217-5757 anywhere you may be. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We're visiting with Lieutenant Colonel Janet Humphrey. She is now retired. Went in the Air Force right after graduation from LSU in 1976 and spent well over 20 years in the Air Force, worked in the Defense Department, and worked in as an intelligence officer under Mike Flynn. Was he a general then?
Yes, he was. I was in Afghanistan from December of 2009 until June of 2010. So at that time, I was at Bagram Air Base, which is a large U.S. logistics base, and General Flynn was down at Kabul at the headquarters for the International Security Assistance Force. So we were not at the same base, but General Flynn regularly came into Bagram to get mission briefings on some of the intelligence activities that were going on at Bagram.
You say he was a patriot. Was he a good soldier?
He's always been a good soldier. I don't think there's any question about that. But I would mention that when General Flynn was at ISAF, the International Security Assistance Force, the commander was General McChrystal. And I think we all remember what happened with General McChrystal, that he was fired by President Obama for an article that appeared in Rolling Stone magazine. So both General McChrystal and General Flynn have a special forces background. And special forces conduct their operations a little differently than the regular military does. They're a little more tactically focused and less strategically focused. So some of General Flynn's, I wouldn't say recklessness, but some of his let's do things in a non-conventional way may come from his special forces background.
Well, in December of 2016, this is a month and a few days before President Trump took office, a secret U.S. military investigation in 2010 was reported by the Washington Post, and that probe determined that General Flynn, who was at that point tapped to be the National Security Advisor, inappropriately shared classified information with foreign military officers in Afghanistan. And although Flynn lacked authorization to share the classified material, he was not disciplined or reprimanded after the investigation concluded that he did not act knowingly and there was no actual or potential damage to national security as a result. This is according to Army records obtained by the Post under the Freedom of Information Act. But with this background, how was he promoted and ultimately ensconced as the National Security Advisor?
That's really a question for the Army investigation as to why they may have come to the conclusions that they did.
And Mike Flynn has an exotic past, a lady who knew him well and knows him well, but you haven't corresponded of late, have you, Colonel?
Well, I wouldn't say that I knew him well. I would say that I worked on the staff that supported General Flynn.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Colonel Humphreys.
Yeah, Colonel, has General Flynn's greed simply superseded his loyalty and patriotism?
I would say no. There are a couple of reasons for that. Number one, any military engagement that we get involved in now, we always do with allies. So we have very close allies that we must work with. And I would say that over the last probably 10 years or so, Turkey certainly falls into that category, that their air base in Incirlik is absolutely critical to our military operations in the Middle East. The problem is his loyalty with Turkey or is his loyalty with the U.S.? I think his loyalty is with the U.S. in seeing Turkey as a crucial ally. On the Russian side, there are certainly areas in which we collaborate with the Russians, but we are very careful as to what areas we collaborate with the Russians. And it's not every area. So we may have specific areas in which we want to work with the Russians and other areas in which we will not work with the Russians. So when you look at that, can you be loyal to the U.S. and also see the value of a partnership with Turkey in specific areas and with Russia in specific areas? If you believe that it is in the interest of the United States to not hold Russia at arm's length, but to specifically coordinate in areas, then you can both be loyal to the U.S. and have a position in which you are not anti-Russian.
Now, Colonel Humphreys, based on what you know, is an officer of long standing in the military and working with the intelligence agency. Is Russia, at the very least, a nemesis to the United States, or could they be classified as an enemy? How would you view Russia as we know Russia today under Vladimir Putin?
That is a very complicated issue. And again, I would say there are areas in which we can cooperate with Russia, but there aren't a lot of those areas currently. And I would say that's based on what happened in Ukraine and the Crimea, that the Russians overstepped significantly and became less of a potential partner and more of a potential problem.
Now, Mike Flynn, according to reports, offered to testify with immunity. In other words, he was willing to say what he knows, but he doesn't want to be exposed to any kind of criminal charges. Should we make anything of this, or is this just a boilerplate for somebody who's under the kind of scrutiny that he is right now?
Well, I would say neither of the congressional committees took him up on his request for immunity and his offer to testify. Both the House committee and the Senate committee on the intel sides said no. So I would think that they've got sufficient information that leads them to think that they are not willing to offer him immunity. But I don't sit on either of those committees, so I don't really know.
Now, he did serve as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and that was under President Obama. So at one time, apparently he was well thought of by the Obama administration.
Again, I'm not sure why he was selected to be the director of the intelligence agency. I did work at DIA when General Flynn was there, and I would say that's where his multitude of good ideas, some of which did not pan out well, created real chaos within DIA. So the workforce at DIA was very discombobulated by General Flynn's constant changes. So he would want to reorganize DIA, make significant changes to the way that the agency operated, and people were simply confused.
All right. Well, on March 8th of this year, which was after he was fired, he registered with the Justice Department as a foreign agent for $530,000 worth of lobbying work before Election Day. It was done on behalf of a Dutch-based company which may have been working for the Turkish government. He also acknowledges being involved with a company, his own company, Flynn Intel, founded in 2014, and he was paid $65,000 by companies connected to Russia in 2015. So he had all this in his background before going to work for the Trump administration as national security advisor. As you said earlier, it would seem that a man as smart as General Flynn would have known that at some point this was likely to become part of the public domain.
Again, I can't speculate as to what he was thinking when he did this, but clearly I knew when I retired from the Joint Staff 2 years ago what were appropriate and inappropriate activities to engage in. Particularly as a military officer, you're definitely told that you cannot take money from a foreign government without getting approval from the service from which you are retired. And the thinking behind that is that even though you're a retired military officer, you can be called back to active duty at any point. So if you have taken money from a foreign government and not disclosed that back to your branch of service, that's a pretty significant breach. So I can't imagine that as part of his outbrief as he was retiring from the Army, that he did not receive the same instructions that I received when I retired as a lieutenant colonel. So that seems extremely risky not to understand, number one, don't take the money, and number two, if you're going to work for a foreign government, you have to register as a foreign agent.
Generals, when they're working for somebody, and that somebody would be the President of the United States in this case, they know the chain of command. And based on an earlier comment you made, you know him well enough to believe that he wouldn't be freelancing and doing things without some kind of supervision from his boss, which in this case was President Trump. So do you think that in that respect that General Flynn may have done things on behalf of the president that might be something that the president would not want the public to know?
Well, again, that's speculation on my part, but I would be very surprised to find out that General Flynn just decided to freelance and call the Russian ambassador to the United States. That's taking an initiative that would be extremely risky, and it just wouldn't make any sense. So the only scenario that makes sense to me is that General Flynn was doing what his boss told him to do. Now, what we don't know, and what I think is the biggest conundrum at this point, is what is Trump's motivation to want to reassure the Russians? So again, if both President Trump and General Flynn believed that the best way forward for the United States was a partnership with Russia, and you believe that, why would you hide that? Why wouldn't you simply say, our policy is going to be a pivot toward Russia? As a part of that pivot toward Russia, we will lift sanctions, undo what the Obama administration had done. If that is truly what you believe, then simply state what you believe. It's the hiding that I don't understand. Why would Trump not want it known if he truly believes this should be the policy of the United States? Why would he try to hide it?
Where do you think this is all going?
I think another part of what we don't understand are Trump's finances. So if Trump truly is not worth what he says he's worth, and he's looking for somebody to, in the long term, bail him out of being upside down in his various properties, what better way than to reward the Russian financiers that may be willing to reward him? Again, speculation on my part, but I simply don't understand enough about who Trump might owe money to or need to get money from to understand his manipulations in behalf of the Russians.
Were you in ROTC at LSU?
Yes, I was. I was in the first class of women that were commissioned through the ROTC program at LSU.
That's wonderful. We've got presidents, the last two with no military experience, the last three out of four with none, and the other with kind of shaky military experience. And the last one to be in a war was 41, George Bush. Does that bother you that we have these commanders in chief who can send women and men off to war, and in many cases they did not make the choice to fight for their country when their time was available to do so?
Well, it's more a matter of, one of the things that every military officer knows how to do is we're all military planners. So we understand thinking about the overall strategy, how do you best protect the interests of the United States? And from that strategy, you then develop what are the appropriate military responses to ensure that the United States is secure. So if you don't sort of grow up in that environment, you don't think in that same sort of strategic way. I would say President Obama did a pretty good job at thinking strategically, strategy all the way down to task. But other presidents who don't have the same sort of military planning background that we do tend to think about the military in a very different way.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana with Colonel Humphreys.
Good morning. Colonel Humphreys, I understand that Exxon has bought a bunch of interest, or has millions of dollars of interest in some oil fields that are in Russia's territory, and it seems kind of suspicious or something to be concerned about that Rex Tillerson was the chairman of Exxon, and that those that part of what those restrictions are now are keeping that deal from going through that I think Putin was setting up to do.
All right. It was an unusual choice for the president to choose a titan of business to be head of the post that Rex Tillerson has as Secretary of State. He's head of state, so and he does have a long association with Vladimir Putin. Does this really matter, or based on all the other stuff that's going on, is it significant?
Well, I think that gets to the issue of Obama imposed the sanctions for some fairly good reasons. If President Trump thinks that those reasons were not legitimate, that's something that happens within President Trump's head. But again, not being clear on what President Trump's financials are, we don't know what the payoff may be and who the payoff may be to.
Robert Mueller may very well get the president's tax returns. You've alluded to the president's finances twice. Do you think the tax returns could be revealing as far as any of these tangential connections the president has or does not have to Russia?
I think that would be extremely revealing. We would then have an idea where his loyalties lie. Do President Trump's loyalties lie with the United States, or is he in fact protecting his own personal financial interests? We simply don't know. So clarity would be extremely useful.
And Janet Humphreys, who lived in the Washington area for some time when she was working for the government, I understand your children went to school with James Comey's kids. Is that right?
That's correct. My younger son went to high school with Jim Comey's daughter, Kate. And I would tell you a couple of things that I really admired about the Comeys. Their children went to public schools. Now, McLean is an extremely good public school, but they made the decision to send their children to public schools, and they were very involved parents. So if there was anything that their kids were involved in and we needed volunteers, the Comeys were always there. They're just good, reliable parents that you could always count on. I was very impressed with him.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope we have occasion to talk again. I have a feeling we will, Colonel Janet Humphreys. And thanks for your service to our country.
You're welcome.